Investigators in New York City are ripping up the basement of an apartment building in hopes of solving a decades-old mystery. What happened to 6-year-old Eitan Peetz? On May 25th, 1979, the first grader was walking alone to his school bus stop for the first time ever, two short blocks, when he disappeared. His body was never found. No one was ever criminally charged. The disappearance of Eitan Peetz transfixed the city and well beyond. It was one of the first missing child cases to attract national attention. Journalist Lisa Cohen spent years looking into the case for her book, After Eitan, The Missing Child Case That Held America Captive. And she joins me now from New York. Lisa, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me.
Let's talk just a bit about that day in 1979 when Eitan disappeared. We mentioned he was walking alone to the school bus stop, and as you write in your book, this was something he had been begging his parents to allow him to do.
Yeah, there were a lot of children who walked on their own to the bus stop. It was not considered anything out of the ordinary. And he was in first grade, and it was coming to the end of the school year. And he'd been asking for this kind of independence, and they had been considering it. And this was just a morning when circumstances came together, and they said he could do it.
Mm. How would you describe the impact of Eitan Peetz's disappearance, not only in New York City, but well beyond?
Well, certainly in New York City, there were posters printed up with his picture on them. And he had this angelic face, and they were plastered everywhere. They started in Soho and they spread uptown and they went downtown, and at a certain point a travel agency actually distributed them abroad. They went to several different countries. They were printed in different languages. So I often say that there was sort of a before Eitan and an after Eitan. Before Eitan, certainly in that neighborhood, they went from being very comfortable in their neighborhood to really being afraid for their children. And it changed the way I think everyone treats children and safety issues.
Yeah, and of course this was many, many years before anything like the Amber Alerts that we know now and this focus on missing children.
I think that's, yeah, I mean, I certainly think that it was in part what led to all those things. Things put in place to track children. There were, you know, Eitan left his house in the morning and they didn't know until 4:30 when he didn't get off the bus that he was gone. Mm-hmm. So things changed in that regard. Now there are alert systems. They, you know, often you are called if your child doesn't arrive at school and you don't call in to say that they're sick.
33 years now after Eitan Peetz disappeared, why this new search in New York?
I think there are a couple of things. One, there's a new district attorney, and they've started over and right from the beginning, looked at everything, talked to everyone. And they're excavating this basement, which was occupied at one point by a man named Othniel Miller, who was a carpenter slash handyman who was a fixture in the neighborhood. And Eitan used to spend time with him, sort of helping him with his carpentry. And at one point in the investigation, he said to authorities that he had just laid this new concrete floor in his basement. And he said, you know, you can dig it up if you want, as long as somebody pays me for it.
No, there was a primary suspect in this case, a man named Jose Ramos, who's a
yes.
convicted child molester, never criminally charged in this case. But,
right.
but the Peetz family did win a civil judgment against him, right?
That's right. In 2004, he was declared responsible for the death of Eitan.
And this may stand that on its head, you think?
It may stand that on its head, or it may also lead to an investigation that uncovers some kind of link between the two men, or between Jose Ramos and the basement. I think there are a lot of unknowns at this point.
Lisa, I know you interviewed Eitan's parents for your book. I believe you also spoke with his father, Stan, after this latest news about this new search.
Yeah.
What has he told you?
Well, he's very contained and very reserved. And he's, over the last 33 years, has had so many ups and downs where they thought they had the big break and then there was the disappointment that followed. So he's very careful about not letting himself react until there's something really to react to. But he's also clearly very grateful that there's something happening. And as he always says to me, something is better than nothing.
I've been talking with Lisa Cohen. Her book is titled After Eitan, The Missing Child Case That Held America Captive. Lisa, thank you very much.
Thank you for having me.